Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse number 1. And verse number 3. Hebrews 11, verse number 1. And verse number 3. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. But without faith, verse number six, Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. All right? So it says, faith is the substance of things and the evidence of things. Faith is, when it says faith is, it's using the context that faith is a present tense kind of thing. Now, I want to give you three aspects of faith that we all should be dealing with, but most people usually deal with this only this first one, and that is a triumphant faith. Triumphant faith deals with our changing our problems and curing our problems. Triumphant faith is when we're believing God for things to change or things to victory to be manifest in a situation or a circumstance that we are facing. Everybody say triumphant faith. So then there's transformative faith. Transformative faith changes us as a person. And so we've been looking at these people, these examples in Scripture, and we'll see again Abraham and Sarah as they are transformed. Because transformative faith changes you as a person. Triumphant faith changes the problem, cures the problem. We all need that. But we need transformative faith because we need to change as people. To go from people of fear, doubt, and unbelief, and to people of faith. And then there's transcendent faith. Transcendent faith. Transcendent faith changes our perspective. Transcendent faith changes our perspective. In other words, we get a bigger view, a more God-sized view of the world around us. We look through the lens of our Father God, who is the God who operates by faith and gave us the same measure that he of faith that he has. He gives us a measure of his kind of faith in our life. So look, let's skip down to verse number 8, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 11, and we're going to emphasize Sarah. We're going to review Abraham, but we're going to emphasize Sarah a little bit today. As she's credited in this account as well for her faith. And it says in verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and went out not knowing where he was going, but by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. Verse number 10, for he waited for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, verse 11, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, last 2 weeks lessons, we saw that there are five main lessons Abraham learned as he traveled his journey of faith. We saw, number one, the walk of faith. In Genesis chapter 12 and 13, the fact that Abraham realizes faith is a life and a lifestyle, not just a moment. Everybody say the walk of faith. Secondly, we see the war of faith. In Genesis chapter 14 and 15, Abraham learns that if he's going to walk in faith, he was going to get attacked. How many of you realize that when you walk by faith, the devil's just not going to say, oh, you're just a faithful Christian. Keep on going. I'm not going to leave you alone. No, he's not letting you go. He's not leaving you alone. You're going to get attacked. You're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. Now, we're not talking about a physical fight or a fist fight. We're talking about a fight of faith. It's the only fight that you and I should be in. And we said before, the only option to not fighting is giving up and relinquishing yourself to being defeated and destroyed. Because the Bible says we have to fight. It doesn't say we quit. There's no quit in faith. Amen. Amen. But the only option to not fighting is to be defeated and to be destroyed. So how many want to be defeated and destroyed? None of us. But that means that it is imperative for us to learn how to fight the good fight of faith. Third, the weight of faith. As we watch Abraham's journey of faith in Genesis 16 and 17, we see that there's the waiting involved for faith to have its effect. He promised them descendants in Genesis chapter 12, but we see him waiting for 25 years till that ultimate promise came into pass. He waited. He waited. He waited. Then fourthly, the work of faith. The work of faith in Genesis 18 and 19, we see that there is some work involved in faith, particularly when it comes to your family, like Abraham's family. He had to go to work. In other words, we often said you must put your faith to work and give God something to work with that day. Some people go to work and get up and be about their work, whatever, at home or in their community, or you got to make errands that day or whatever. You be about your work, but is your faith at work? Don't ever get up and get going about your day without you putting your faith to work. Don't put your faith in the unemployment line. Put your faith to work. Amen. And then, of course, fifth, the worship of faith. In Genesis chapter 20 through 22, Abraham had an opportunity to worship God and give God glory. He shows us how worship is a priority. Every time he had a moment where God brought victory or revelation or breakthrough or a blessing, he worshiped. What should we do, friends, every time we have a moment that we realize that the blessing has come manifested in our lives, a breakthrough has come into fruition in our lives? Come on now. A victory has been experienced and realized in our lives. Come on now. A manifestation of God's goodness has come upon our lives. We ought to worship. Worship helps us zoom out from what's wrong with us and what's wrong with our circumstances, and zoom in on what's right with God and what's right about God and what's righteous about his word and promises. Praise God. But friends, of all the illustrations of faith that we walked through thus far, we saw weeks ago, you know, we saw Enoch, we saw Abel, we saw Noah. We saw Abraham a couple weeks. We just kind of been dealing with Abraham. And then now we see Sarah. I think Sarah's illustration best speaks most of people's current circumstances. This is where most people process faith. And Sarah exemplifies the weight of faith. Everybody say the weight of faith. Yeah, Abraham waited, but Sarah had to wait. But she was waiting at what we call a natural disadvantage. No other characters of faith seen in Hebrews 11 thus far have felt the level of tension of faith more so than Sarah did. How so? Let's examine Sarah's life in the context of her culture, the cultural conditions she was under at the time. Number one, Sarah was not in charge. You know, back then, women didn't have a lot of rights. Didn't have a lot of say-so at all. So when Abraham picked up and left everybody, guess who had to go? Sarah had to go alone. When he decided to go down to Egypt and pawn her off to the king and say, tell him you're my sister. Guess what she had to do? She had to go along. Now, I know that was Abraham, but see, today that wouldn't probably happen because the women would speak up and speak out, praise God. But Sarah was not in charge. And a lot of times we get frustrated when we're not in charge. Also, we learned that Sarah was not in control. When Abraham told her, go tell them you're my wife and so they don't kill me, that means she wasn't in control of her own body. In a sense, where she could have had to marry that king just to save her husband. Until God intervened and said, look, can't do this. This is a man's wife. You're getting ready to get killed. He woke up in horror. He's like, wait a minute, get her back. Because he took her. Sarah was not in control. In another case, in other examples, you see through the scriptures in Genesis that Sarah had to deal with things that she was not in control of, which leads us to the third point. Sarah had to face consequences of the decisions made around her and for her and to her. So she had to face the consequences. Now, we've all been in situations, but we're honest, we might have been married or single, or maybe in a just a general context, other people made a decision, but it affected you. And you had to live with it. And she had to face the consequences. Even in the culture then, she had to face the consequences of being disregarded and being downgraded. Why? Because she was barren. She had no children. And children and childbearing was a sign that you were blessed and prosperous and productive as a woman. And so she was demoted and downgraded in her public lifestyle. Going around, people, you know, you barren. You know, even when Hagar had Ishmael by Abraham, now Hagar, who was Sarah's mistress, despised Sarah. Look, I can have a baby, but you can't. She had to deal with the consequences. And a lot of people say, well, you know, how do we get caught up in this? How do we get so behind? How do we get in this situation? How do we deal with the situation that's come upon us? Maybe you weren't in control. Maybe you are not in charge. Maybe you're still facing the consequences, which brings that tension to your faith. Amen. So how did Sarah get to the point where she exemplified waiting in faith? Even though circumstances were totally against her, she understood two things about faith. Number one, the promise of faith. God had said something 25 years ago to her husband, and she heard it over and over, and God had changed their names from Abram to Abraham, and from Sarai to Sarah. God had said something. He had promised something. And he promised them that he would have children and descendants that would be like the sands of the sea. Then she had to consider and understood the person of faith. So there was the promise of faith, and then there's the person of faith. God had done something, and he had been faithful to their lives for 25 years. This type of faith deals with the person of God. So you don't get to know the person of God in just 1 second. You get to know the person of God over time. So Sarah waited for the fulfillment of God's promise. She didn't know God. If she didn't know God, excuse me, she would have not judged him faithful. But over going back over 25 years of their life, God protected them. God provided for them. God saw the things that he had said come to pass. He had saw the things come to pass. And so she said, after I calculate, after I analyze, after I evaluate the person of God, she said, I judge him faithful. I judge him reliable. I judge him trustworthy to fulfill his word. Amen. Again, if she did not know God, she would have not judged him faithful. She would not have expected the promise to be fulfilled. But Sarah knew God and knew he had always been faithful. Everybody say faithful. Now let's go back through the faith steps again. You'll hold your place there in Romans chapter 4. And as we first reviewed some of the faith basics and fundamentals, we learned from both Abraham and Sarah three big aspects about faith in God. Number one, faith in God involves and entails faith in God's ability. The truth that God is able. Everybody say God is able. Now think about, add to that statement. God is able, what? To meet my needs. God is able to heal my body. God is able to save my family. Now, you got to believe that. Faith, if you going to have faith in God, you got to believe God is able. Everybody say God is able. God, that means God can do what he said he and promised he would do. Faith in God, secondly, involves and entails faith in God's willingness. The truth that God's will is, and it will, God, that God's will, and he is willing to do what he promised and said he would do for you. God will. So, everybody say, God will. Then you fill in the blank. You fill in after that statement. God will meet my needs. God will provide healing power to cure me from illnesses and pain and sickness. God will, amen, do it again for me. Bring deliverance, bring victory, bring blessing into my life. God will. So you got to look at both sides of that spectrum when you're talking about faith in God. God can, God is able, and God is willing to do it for me. Third thing, aspect, is faith in God is dealing with things. Hebrews 11:1 says again, now faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. And the evidence of what? Things not seen. So you, when dealing with things, they're not seen and not yet. In other words, seen, if you just limit it just as eyesight, your sensory perception. It's not witnessed or evidenced to any of your five physical senses. So that's what it means. It's not seen. That means you don't have physical perception of any of those things that you're believing God for. You can't smell it, you can't see it, you can't hear it, you can't taste it, you can't touch it. So it's not seen. And it's not yet. You might say, my family's not yet delivered and saved. But faith is the substance of things. See, hope has no substance, friends. Hope's a good waiter, but a poor receiver. But faith gives substance to your hope. Hope is a goal setter. It says, I want to see this occurring in my life. Well, all the promises, everything you need and want are in Christ and in him, yes and amen to the glory of God. That means your faith has to give substance to the thing that you're hoping for. And it's the evidence, it's the proof, it's the confirmation, it's the title deed of things not seen, not yet seen. Hallelujah. So when it comes to having faith in God, we have to understand both aspects of this is true, that we must employ and engage with our faith. God is able, God is willing to do what he said he can do, and your faith, the faith in God's promise and faith in God who is the promiser. So why do we have faith? Because Romans 1, 16 and 17, Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew and also the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed." For how? From faith to faith. Everybody say faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by what? Galatians 3:11 says, "But there no one is justified by the law by the in the sight of God, for it is evident the just shall live by what? The just shall live by faith." Hebrews 10:38. "Now the just shall live by faith. If anyone draws back what? From living by faith. My soul has no pleasure in him." Without faith, it's impossible to please God. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by what? Faith, and not by what? Not by sight." That means we don't walk by appearances, sensory perceptions. We don't walk by the sensory perceptions of our life, what we see, say, face, feel, taste, touch, smell, etc. Here. Now, faith is how our Father functions. Faith is what pleases our Father God. Verse 6 again, Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So our Father is not pleased when we're not receiving. God is not pleased when we're not receiving from him. Now, let me talk real plain to some of you. God is not pleased when we're carrying sickness instead of casting that care of that sickness over on the Lord. And we're carrying it in our body, and we haven't even one iota cared to ask him to heal you. He wants you receiving. He doesn't want his kids sick. He doesn't want his kids broke. He doesn't want any of his children's families broken up. See, 1 John 5:4 says, "For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our what? Through our faith." How do we defeat this evil world? Through our faith. There's evil that tries to get into our bodies. There's evil that tries to get into our finances. There's evil that tries to get into our homes and to our hearts. We live in an evil world, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we invite everybody to Tuesday night's book and Bible study. Because why? We need to understand discernment, develop discernment of these end times. We're surrounded by evil. But we defeat this evil world by our faith. Remember, our faith level determines our what? Our victory level. And the Father God is not pleased when we're not overcoming. He's not pleased when we're not overcoming. So we should be overcoming every obstacle, every opportunity of temptation, tests, trial, trouble, turbulence that comes into our lives by our faith in God. Amen. And so number three, faith gives access to what grace is given. We often say grace makes, faith takes. So we have to believe that grace has made prosperity available. Grace has made healing available. Grace has made everything we need. Everything we need. Come on now. It's a blank check. Everything you need and want available. But then you have to take it by your faith. Mark 11:23, "Whosoever shall have," at the end of the verse, "whatsoever he saith." But most people aren't saying anything. And they're not getting anything. because their faith is not strong enough to move their mouth. And so if it's not strong enough to move your mouth, it'll never be strong enough to move your mountain. We often say you should ask the question of your faith friends. What are you saying about your finances? What are you saying about your body, your physical body? What are you saying about your emotions and mental well-being? Because there's a lot of people in trouble with mental and emotional issues. Too many Christian believers, spirit-filled, are struggling and battling depression, discouragement, despondency, despair. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace we have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So your grace has made salvation available, but how do you take salvation? How do you receive salvation? Through what? Through faith. Romans 12:3 says, he says it in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Listen to this. Romans 12, verse number 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Now, it doesn't mean you have to think low. You just don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. But God thinks soberly, means accurately, purposefully, according as God has dealt to every man the what? The measure of faith. Now, some translation says a measure, but that's really a misnomer because God didn't give you one measure and then give me a different measure. He gave us all the measure. That means we all got the same measure, just like you're dealing cards, the illustration I used last week. You're dealing cards. If you're playing cards, if it's five cards you deal, everybody gets five cards. If it's seven cards you deal, everybody gets seven cards. If you're playing Uno, everybody gets the same amount of cards. That means we got the same measure. Everybody say, I have the measure of the God kind of faith. That means you got the equipment. You got the stuff to realize victory, blessings, and triumph in your life. You got the capacity to believe God and to receive from God. What is faith? Well, we said it before. Hebrews 11:1, good definition. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, let's read this in Romans chapter 4, verse 11 through 21. Romans 4, 11 through 21, he says, and he receiving a sign of circumcision, received a sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of faith, which he had being yet uncircumcised, that he might be the father of many of them all who that believe, though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed unto him them also. Verse 12, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also who walk in the steps, everybody say the steps, of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that which is also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now here's the steps here. Verse 17. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might be the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that that what he had promised he was also able to perform. Therefore it is imputed unto him for righteousness. All right, so let's go back and walk through these seven steps. Number one, step one, believe what God has spoken. Because your faith has to have evidence. You can say, you can substitute faith for the Word of God. Now, the Word of God, Hebrews 11:1, is the substance of things hoped for, and the word of God is the evidence of things not seen. Because your faith is in God and in His Word. Your faith is in what God has promised. So he believed that what God has spoken in verse 17, I have made thee a father of many nations. See, choosing to believe what God said and promised is more than what you feel, see, or experience at the moment. Now, this is where a lot of people get challenged because they see and feel the pain, the problem, the pressure. But you have to choose to believe God and trust God more than you believe what you see with your sensory perception. Your physical senses are telling you this is painful, this is problematic, this is a lot of pressure. But you choose to believe God. Amen. See, faith, first step begins with a firm, decided choice to believe God. Everybody say, believe God. See, we become convinced and confident. We become convinced and confident when you believe. That's your attitude of faith. I choose to believe. Numbers 23:19 says, now God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it? And will not he do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? The answer is yes, he will make it good. He said it, he'll do it. He's good for his word. We choose to believe God is able and believe God is willing to do what he said he would do. Second step, calling those things which be not as though they were. Verse 17, calleth those things which be not as though they were. So first we believe, then we speak. Those are the two fundamental steps everyone should be taking. Believing and speaking. That opens the door to the supernatural. So we speak what we're believing to receive. And what we believe should be God's word and what God has said. So we're believing God and we're believing to receive from God and we're speaking God what God has said. So how did that transform to natural practical application? We are calling those things which be not as though they were. We're calling what we want to see, not calling it what it is or what we feel. Now what if I'm in writhing pain, Pastor? You're not denying. And some people translate this calling those things be not, calling those things that be as though they don't exist. So if you got an actual physical diagnosis or disease, and let's say cancer, you can't say, I don't have cancer. Because that's lying or denying. Denial's a river in Egypt. Going over here. You can't deny the fact that you're hurting, but you choose to call it what God's calling you. God says, according to his word, by his stripes ye were what? Healed. So you say, according to the word of God, I'm healed. You look like you're in pain. Amen. According to the word of God, I'm well. Hallelujah. So you got to call it even in the middle of sensory contradiction. Calling this word called is the Greek word summonsed or to command to appear. You summons it. You command healing to appear. Now this is where we lose grip on our lip and we let things slip. Our mouth wants to change from calling those things which be not as though they were to calling it like it is and telling it like it is. And guess what's happened? We've canceled faith and we've changed our faith confession to now making a fact confession or a fear confession. Or you can put feelings in there too. Feeling confession. So we want to confess the facts, the feelings, and the fears. And we think God's going to just put up with our mouth going off like that. No, he's not. If we want to have Abraham's kind of faith, we got to take the same step he took. When he didn't have a baby, he didn't say, I don't have a baby, I don't have a son. No, he called himself Abraham, the father of a multitude. God said, I was Abraham. God said he made me a father of many nations, and that's what I'm saying about myself. Come on now. God said that you're by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. What are you saying about yourself? God said he supply all your need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So what are you saying about your needs being met? What are you saying about your finances? God said through the Apostle Paul, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved in your whole household. What are you saying about your whole household? Now, a lot of people want to pray about the problems in the house and the people in their house. They're not calling them saved. They're not claiming their salvation. They're not confessing that they're on fire for God. Come on now. They're confessing that they're running with the devil, that they're the devil's kids. I don't know who these kids are anymore. Come on now. You're calling those things. You're changing that confession. You're canceling that confession. Felt the unction on that one. That's when most people miss it. They got blabber mouth instead of faith confession. Amen. You know, Sarah almost got in trouble and laughed in the tent and laughed. God said, he said, this time next year, he was right there. She's in there listening to the tent. She was eavesdropping. Abraham and the Lord talking outside that tent. He said, no. Because he tried to get God to accept Ishmael as his heir. He said, no, the son of your maidservant is not going to be your heir. But you're going to have a son. This time next year, you're going to have a son. And you're going to have a son through your wife, Sarah. Amen. And she snickered, and the Lord said, why did she laugh? But see, God turned her laughter of doubt and, oh, man, why is this going to happen to me? No, some people laugh when you look at the scripture and the promises. It's too big for me. You mean God can take me out of debt supernaturally? You can't mock and laugh out of fear or out of flesh. You got to laugh in faith and say, Lord, I receive. Amen. I call myself out of debt. All of my needs are met. There's plenty more to put in store. Praise God. Somebody said glory to God. Hallelujah. What are you calling your debts? Paid in full. Paid up, paid on time. But some people want to have their hand out and their lips out and tell everybody else how hard it is to live today. Everything ain't perfect yet, so they're going to talk about how it is. Stop running your mouth. Carry around duct tape if you have to, and put duct tape over your mouth until you get mouth control. Somebody say glory to God. All right, I better hurry up. Hope. Step three, hope and faith. So Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith that he would become the father of many nations as he had promised. So he hoped in what God says. God's word produces faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Praise God. So hope must be connected to faith. And the things we learned about hope from God's word, hope is the expectation of a greater future than the current circumstances. So stop complaining about your job and stop complaining about your circumstances right now. I'm talking to somebody. You need to stop your crying and complaining of your current circumstances. Because you're going to go into a state of hopelessness. See, hope is the goal setter. Hope is the joyful, confident expectation of a better future than you have presently. Don't walk around without hope. Hope is an anchor for our souls, mind, will, and emotion. It keeps you ready and steady and in challenging times. Hope sets the tone for your conversation. See, you can tell somebody's speech is hopeful or it's hopeless. Hope is not just wishing and wanting something. You're joyful, you're confident, you're expectant of something good. You're excited about those things. Amen. So Abraham believed in spite of the impossibility of his age, but he spoke according to what God spoke in Genesis 15:5. Now, he says according to, which means it to be in hearty agreement with. That means God says I'm going to be the father of many nations, and so shall my seed be. Come on now. And he had hearty agreement with God. You and I have to have hearty, heartfelt agreement with God and what he says. Yeah, it looks bad in the natural. It looks nasty in the now and now. Come on now. But you got to have hearty agreement to what God has said. Then step four, he considered not what you feel, see, or is contradictory circumstances. Look at verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, which he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So in other words, Abraham considered it, like in one a commentary, he considered it, and then he considered it not. Weak faith only considers what it sees on the outside. See, if you're only considering seeing things on the outside, monetarily, materialistically, medical-wise, what the doctor's report says, what the diagnosis report has given you, that's weak faith. If you're only considering what you see, feel, and what circumstances say on the outside, that's weak faith. Abraham refused to look at the external circumstances. He kept his eyes focused on God's word and what God had declared about him. Now, remember, he didn't have a Bible like we do. We get to read into his life. But he had no Bible. The Bible wasn't written until, first started getting written until Moses came along. That's years later, 400 and some years later. This is after Isaac was born. Are you listening to me? Number five, he staggered not. Everybody say stagger not. Don't waver in doubt at the promises of God. Verse 20 brings that. He staggered not at the promise. Like our Dr. Lily Yeoman says, this is some of us need to be stagger knots and not try to be astronauts and cosmonauts. But we need to be stagger knots. That means stagger in the Greek means to waver, doubt, hesitate, or question. Waver, doubt, hesitate, or question. See, we have to resist doubt and refuse to doubt, vacillate, or waver with the promises of God. James said it this way, if any man lack wisdom, James 1:5, let him ask of who? God, who gives to all men liberty and upbraid not. But let him ask how? In faith, without wavering. For he who wavereth, that doubt, same root word, duo, doubt, vacillates. He who wavers is like the wind of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. You know, the sea gets blown by the wind. So that means the wind of circumstances blows you this way, and then one day you're this way. You're up one day, you're down the next day. You're hot one moment, you're cold the next. Your faith is up here, up high here. And then when you get the reports in the news and the negative situation, your faith goes down here. He said a double-minded man or woman is unstable in all their ways. And he said, don't even expect that you will receive anything from the Lord that way. So if you ask for wisdom, if you ask for your needs to be met, if you ask for something to change or experience in your life that's promised by God, that's consistent with a godly lifestyle, then you and friends can realize that God says, yes, I'll give it to you. But if you question, if you hesitate, if you waver, if you vacillate and wonder, well, will God really give me that? He said, don't expect to receive anything from the Lord that way. See, our instability is a result of our wavering and vacillating, wobbling, and not being persuaded. See, to doubt God means to judge God and to have a divided loyalty against God. That means, Lord, I see what you say, but over here, this seems so real and so hard and so heavy. You know, doubt is very disrespectful to God. Doubt says, God, you're not faithful, you're not trustworthy, you're not reliable, you're not dependable. You don't believe that he will do what he said he promised he would do. See, doubt is a big thief of God's blessings in your life. See, when we trust God, we honor him and glorify him. When we doubt God, we dishonor him and magnify the devil and the problem. You got too many Christians magnifying the devil and the problem and dishonoring God because they're magnifying the problem on social media, on the internet, on YouTube, on wherever. They're magnifying the problem and the devil because they're doubt peddlers and doubt pushers. Number six, be strengthened or stay strong in faith by giving thanks and praise to God. Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Strong means to empower, enable, increase in strength. This is how you sustain and strengthen your faith and standing in faith, believing to receive. We call this the switch of faith. When you turn the switches off in this room, it goes darker. The power gets shut off. When you turn the switch off of your faith, your situation gets darker. And the power goes off. See, you turn the faith power up and on when you praise and thank God. So some people say lose their healing right after they get prayed for. They go back to the seat checking to see if I'm better. Well, you didn't lost everything before you left the building. Because you didn't keep the switch on. You cut the power off. In other words, you didn't give praise and thanksgiving to God while you are waiting in faith for the manifestation of what God has promised. Whew. See, you keep your faith shield up to resist fear, doubt, and unbelief that the enemy hurls into the battlefield of your mind. Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith, where which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. See, when your faith is up and your faith is on, the enemy fiery darts won't stick to you or burn you. This is where a lot of people lose, and they go from strong faith when they prayed with several people and when they have to stay in faith and stand strong in faith until the manifestation of victory comes, they lose their faith. It gets holes in it because the fiery darts are cutting in. They don't keep their faith up. They don't keep their faith switched on. Are you listening to me today? Amen? And then they get weak in faith. But this is how you stay strengthened in faith. You got to give praise and thanksgiving to God. Amen. Just like we talked about during the offering time, when you give your offering, you're believing your needs to be met, your bills to be paid, what are you doing between your bills being paid or your needs being met? You're thanking God. You're praising God. You're saying the money will come. You're saying all of my needs are met with heaven's best. God meets all my needs. When the devil puts a lot more pressure on you, you say, my faith is giving substance to Philippians 4:19, that my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My faith is giving substance so that the blessing of the Lord, it makes me rich. Abundant is abide and fully provided for, full provision in my life. And I have no sorrow with it. Come on now. My faith is giving substance to Psalms 112, verse 3, that wealth and riches are in my house. That I lack nothing, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Come on now. When we're not speaking, we're leaking. When you're not speaking in faith, your faith is leaking out of faith. And when you're leaking, you're getting weakened. Praise God. Last step. Y'all ready for the last step, right? Being fully persuaded. Fully persuaded means you're totally assured of or completely confident, unquestionably convinced. Fully persuaded faith dares to believe God rather than the circumstances. So you're not sending an inquiry to pray or an inquiry to partner in the faith project together with someone and get an agreement with someone out of a doubtful heart or a deceived mind. You're saying, I am determined to believe and trust God. Now, would you agree with me? Would you believe with me? Praise God. Somebody say glory to God. He was fully assured of God that was able to fulfill what he had promised. Abraham was fully persuaded following these steps, and so will we be when we follow those steps as well. Praise God. Hallelujah. You get something out of that today? Praise God. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we